All right, folks, this is Rabble Rouse and Rich Bergeron.
It's the Tornado, Tony Tenica.
And Psychic Tom Haggis with a red hot crystal ball.
All right. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We got the big UFC 202 big rematch. Nate Diaz versus Conor McGregor. The second coming. Big fight. Co-main event there is Anthony Johnson versus Glover Teixeira. A lot of experience there for both those guys. And a little bit of news about a press conference the other day. I don't know if you got to see it, Tom, but it went a little south when Nate Diaz's people came in there and started chanting and raising a ruckus. And Connor's dropping F-bombs and Dana's trying to prevent him.
Actually, for a European, Connor's throwing style wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
Yeah, it was funny. There was a couple different angles that I watched, and the funniest was when they showed Dana White trying to tell him to stop throwing stuff. It's like, is this kindergarten or what? This is funny.
Yeah, I mean, it was...
Hey, you can't throw that stuff. That's our sponsors, he was saying. Thinking to himself. Monster energy drinks and bottled water. I mean, he just picked it up and started hucking it across the room. So it's getting heated there. Nate's obviously trying to get into his head again. And it should definitely be a hell of a fight to watch. It's going to be over in Las Vegas, of course, at the T-Mobile Arena. Nate comes in at 19-10. Connor comes in at 19-3. And of course, Nate leads the series 1-0, as we know. So we'll see if this is the tie breaking, if it becomes a tie, or this becomes Nate getting the second helping of gullible McGregor, thinking he could go up a weight.
Once again, the UFC has done a masterful job.
All right. So, yeah, that's a big fight coming up. And we've got the co-main event there. Also a pretty big deal for title hunt hopes for... Rumble, former guest of ours a long, long time ago, during his first stint with the UFC, had Anthony on the show. But Connor's got a big test here. This is for legacy right here, as well as bragging rights.
Yeah, and I think, now I don't know if you've seen the UFC's promotion with Bad Blood, but Connor laid out such a great case for why it's going to be different this time, because he drove the point that he did train specifically for Diaz, that he was very overconfident, and it showed a few times in the fight when it looked like Diaz was really rocked, and right. Then Connor just dropped his hands and started talking him, didn't try to follow up on it, and for this time, Connor also had alluded to that maybe he was doing a little too many gymnastic things and forgot about the good old-fashioned road work, and hence, with the weight gain, his cardio was affected. And for this time, he brought in a tall, lanky southpaw, an Irish amateur with about like 140 wins, and his style looked very much like Diaz, and he said he's really specifically there for it. He said he's never been more ready. So he makes a good case for himself, and actually he's, I think, a slight favorite, but it's almost a pick'em fight.
Right.
But then Diaz comes on with his Joel attitude. You gotta love this guy. You know, there's no intimidation there with him. He just said, hey, beat him the first time, beat him again. Let's do it.
Well, they had a hilarious thing on Jimmy Kimmel where they were interviewing different people who wanted Conor McGregor to win. And then all of a sudden, Nate would come out of a room behind these people and just come right out the doors. And then all of a sudden, they'd look behind him and there's Nate after they just trash talked him. Oh, hey, there he is. That was awesome.
Because, you know, a lot of fighters, you know where this would go if it's any confrontation, but you know, a lot of fighters aren't street.
Yeah.
They're not, but with the Diaz brothers, you gotta
kind of
wonder at times, you know what I mean?
Right. So the other thing too is Connor apparently spent like over $300,000 on this training camp. So you know, he's obviously thinking this is big. This is big for him, so he's gonna put the money in.
Well, yeah, because a defeat. Now let's assume that he comes up short again. Now he can go back and defend his title at 145, and consider moving to 155. But his aura will really take a beating.
You know how much Nate Diaz spent on his training camp?
Probably not too much. Probably the cost of a heavy bag and a bicycle.
Yeah. Probably like $3, right?
Yeah.
All right. So Anthony Johnson comes in at 21-5. Glover Teixeira comes in at 25-4. Lots of experience for both those guys. They have almost exactly the same amount of fights.
Wouldn't you think, Rich, that the winner has to be given a title shot?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because if Anthony can stop Glover, he'll have an argument that he did something John Jones couldn't do.
Right.
Because Glover Teixeira is not an easy man at all to beat, let alone stop. But if any man in that division, Anthony Johnson has the power. So this is just an intriguing fight. I mean, you don't know if Glover's going to try to stand him, if he wants it on the ground, if he can get it to the ground. Awful good co-ring event.
Yeah, definitely. Who do you think's going to win? Can you hear me?
Shit. I can hear you, yeah.
All right. So who do you think's going to win that one? Both of them, the co-main event and main event. We haven't talked about that. What's your prediction?
I think, and it's so hard, and I've been on such a bad roll lately, but I get the feeling that Anthony Johnson is going to pull it off within the second or third round. I think if it goes beyond that, look out. Well, I think it's only a three-round fight.
Yeah.
But I think if it goes to the third round, you got to go with Teixeira. But I just think Anthony's going to find the key to get the stoppage. And the main event, there's something that tells me, I don't care what Conor's done, Nate's going to do it again. So there's my two.
All right. Well, I will slightly alter my picks to go against you in the main event. I think Conor's got it straightened out this time. He's got too much to lose, money-wise, number one, and legacy-wise, number two. And just, you know, I don't think Nate has gotten into his head as much as Nate probably thinks he has. So I think he's going to learn his lesson and straighten it out. I don't think it'll be an easy job for him. I think it might take him into the second round again, but I think Conor's going to turn the tables this time. And I want Nate to win. I really do. I mean, I don't hate Conor or anything like that, but I really love to see a guy like that humbled a little bit more, especially when he hasn't seemed to learn his lesson the first time. But I think he really has taken it seriously, obviously, with the amount of money he spent on the camp and, you know, the whole debacle where this had to be put off again. It's given him a lot of time and a lot of different places to train. He had the whole thing with his boxing training, trying to do the Floyd Mayweather fight, which will never happen, but you know, he was trying to take it seriously anyway. So he's done a lot of different things that I think Nate is going to be surprised by this time around. But, you know.
Well, as I said earlier, I mean, he has made a great case for logically why it's going to be different. I wouldn't be shocked. It's that close to a pick'em fight. But I'll still stick with Nate. And, it'll be fun to watch.
And the co-main event, I'm taking Anthony too. And I'm going to go first round. First round knockout.
Mm-hmm.
Knockout. Not just TKO, knock out.
Nice.
That's what I'm hoping for anyway.
Because right now, I mean, I know that Glover's shown a good chin in the past, but Anthony right now is just, he's so powerful and he's so hard to get down.
Yeah.
That's the dilemma when you fight him, because you're going to have to give away the first round, and can Glover afford to do that in a three-round fight? I mean, maybe in a five-round fight, you could just dance around and wait for Anthony to tire out, because he has had cardio problems in the past with that weight division. But at a three-rounder, I just don't think you can do that.
No. I will see. Anything can happen. We also got Cowboy back in action again. I mean, does this guy ever take a day off? It's like every card, all of a sudden
you're
on there.
Up there at Lake Mead doing the crazy stuff. I mean, no wonder Dana White doesn't have any hair. I mean,
yeah.
Doing the stuff he does between fights, he just wants, I mean, I know that's him. He's not going to change. There's no reason for him to listen to anyone, but man, I mean, just the stuff he does.
And it's, you know, it's a tough opponent he's got here. Rick Story, he's 19-8. He's very talented. He doesn't have the name experience, so to speak, as Donald Cerrone. Not a whole lot of huge names on Rick Story's resume. But, you know, nevertheless, just a tough, scrappy fighter. So Donald comes in at 30-7. Story comes in at 19-8. And I like Donald to win this one. You know, but who knows?
Story's one of those streaky guys.
Right.
And
it happened the last time you bet against him, right? Patrick Cote.
There you go.
So we got also Tim Means, 25-7, fighting Sabah Homasi, who's 11-5. Cody Garbrandt back in action. His last fight actually was the same card that Donald was on, I believe. He was the same week anyway. I think he was the main event fight against another undefeated fighter, and he got the win. He goes against a big test, Takeya Mizugaki. Got his 21-9-2, but Garbrandt with his 9-0 record has looked unstoppable. So.
And Garbrandt has really escalated the war of words with Dominick Cruz.
Yeah,
I mean it's becoming off the charts now, and. He just feels that if he wins, he deserves a title shot. So we'll see how it goes.
All right. We also have a female fight. Raquel Pennington, 7-5, fighting Elizabeth Phillips, who's 5-3. Artem Lobov, also on the card from Ultimate Fighter fame. He just a couple seasons ago. The season. He is 11-12-1, fighting Chris Avila, who is 5-2. Got another female Ultimate Fighter contestant, Randa Marcos, 6-3, fighting Courtney Casey on this one. She's 5-3, and pretty far down the card for this one. This one must be the big preliminary one. It's Neil Magny versus Lorenz Larkin, and big records for way down on the card on that one.
Yeah, that's
a... Just 1 second, scroll past it. I look at Nate Diaz giving double middle fingers at the presence here. Sure, dog. All right, yeah, so Magny is 18-4. Lorenz Larkin is 17-5. We got Colby Covington is 5-3 with one draw, fighting Marlon Vera, who's 7-3-1 in the third fight of the night. And we got Hyun Lim, 13-5-1, fighting Mike Perry, who's 6-0. And the first fight of the night is Marvin Vettori, 10-2, fighting Alberto Emiliano Pereira, who's 9-1. Let's see what else we got going on. And we got a little bit of boxing to talk about, of course. We've got Errol Spence versus Leonard Bundu on the big Spike. I think it's Spike. No, NBC, I believe. The card that's
Sunday afternoon, right?
Premier Boxing Champions. Former guest, Ryan Kilczewski.
I love hearing that they're doing prime time Sunday afternoon on NBC. Because that's attract fans.
Right. And last week...
How do you see that one, Tony? Do you think... Spence is a shoe-in on this, or you expected a good fight?
Well, it's hard to say because I really don't know much about Bundu. So you have a proven commodity in Spence, so smart money has to go on him. You know, if I had the privilege of seeing Bundu depth answer on it, but right now it's proven versus unproven. You know, like coming up in September... we have, I think, down in Dallas, it's like you have Canelo Alvarez against Liam Smith. And it's like you get put on the spot on that one. It's like, well, how do you see that one going? Well, it's like, Canelo Alvarez, he's a proven commodity. I really want to know William Smith. It's like, you know, you can look at his record and you can kind of see who he's fought and, you know, what guys he's beaten, what their records have been, maybe some guys that you know and have knocked these guys out. Same thing with, you know, Bundu. You can look on there, see who he fought, how was he fared against them, and then give a more in-depth answer, but you gotta go with Spence.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's looked unstoppable. I'm just not seeing any weakness with him. So, kind of my take on it, too.
And tomorrow night, we actually have a Showtime Showbox card from Rochester, New York. Heavyweights Fred Cassie, Classy Freddie Cassie.
Mm-hmm.
He is fighting Jarrell Miller, who's undefeated, 17-0-1 at heavyweight. And Cassie is 18-5-1. It's for the WBO-NABO heavyweight title. Also, Santiago versus Nieves at bantamweight. Antonio Nieves is 16-0-1, and Alejandro Santiago is 11-2-1 there. Also on that card, another couple interesting fights. We've got Bakhtiar Ayubov, who is 10-0 at welterweight, fighting Karim Mayfield, who is 19-3-1. And then we got Bahodir Mamajonov, who is 19-2, fighting Mason Minard, who is 31-1. And that one is for a title, too, the vacant WBO-NABO lightweight title. And also on the card, it's pretty late for this. I'm pretty sure they do have an opponent, but BoxRec still has TBA on the card. We all know how tough he is. Fighting Alexei Zubov, 11-1 at cruiserweight. So watch out for TBA. And then we got, that's not really a big one. We got West fights in Wisconsin. Some crazy. Another TBA in Chile. Juan Carlos Alderete. He's 36-8-2. It's the only fight on the card, and he's fighting TBA.
Well, hell of a card.
That's awesome. Way to get your... And then you get the other cards there. There's like 12 fights. Everybody's TBA except for one matchup that's decided, and it's both fighters in their debut. That's awesome. And finally, we get to Saturday. We got a big one going on over in Japan. Two big ones. We got Riku Kano, who is 10-1-1 at minimum weight, fighting Katsunari Takayama, who has 30 wins and 8 losses. This one's for the vacant WBO World Minimum Weight title. And then we've got Light Flyweights, WBO World Female Light Flyweight title on the line between Kei Takanaka, who's 11-0, and Louisa Houghton, who's 6-0. So somebody's going to lose an over there. Unless it's a tie. And he's still losing 0, because none of them have any ties. WBC Latino lightweight title on the line, and where else but Mexico. Marcos Villasana Jr., 19-6, fighting Rosicky Cristobal, who's 12-0. Let's see. Page 2. Also, last week, August 12th, we had a fight. I didn't get to watch it. August 13th, also, we had another fight worth mentioning. Antonio Margarito got a win over Alvarez there. I know we briefly mentioned
that. Yeah, they were trying to use that to set that up with a Canelo Alvarez, but I think that kind of got squashed. Yeah,
I kept seeing all this Margarito Alvarez stuff, and I thought they were talking about Canelo there for a second. So I'm sure that's where people got it. Anyway, Miguel Flores got a win over Ryan Kilzewski, who is our former guest. We caught him after his very first loss in the ring on ESPN, and it was a great interview and kind of tried to give him a couple tips here and there. But he had a rough outing, lost by unanimous decision to Miguel, and more power to him as he tries to figure out, you know, what little changes he needs to make to get back to being a contender for the title there at some point, because I know that's what he wants, so hopefully we can get there. But anyway, he's plugging away. So, we're still into Saturday stuff here. Let's see what else we got. We got a Panamanian light flyweight title on the line, and where else but Panama. Amrit Herrera at light flyweight. He is 6-0, fighting Walter Tello, who is 21-10. And over in Poland, we've got some fights on Saturday. A guy named Przemyslaw Runowski, probably butchering that one. He's 11-0, fighting Elmo Treja, who's 11-1 for the vacant WBC Youth Intercontinental Super Lightweight title. Good luck with that one, announcer. Also on that card, we got middleweights. Kamil Saramita, who is 13-0, fighting Kasim Uma, who is 29-9-1. It's been a long
time. Wow, I didn't know Kasim was still going at it.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a blast from the past, huh? Is that true?
And a couple of decent fights going on in Turkey, of all places. Shafat Usufi, he is 20 wins, 3 losses, 2 draws for his record. He's fighting Daniel Wanyonyi, who is 23-9-2. That's for the PABA light heavyweight title. And then super featherweights, Yavuz Ertuğrul, who is 23-1, fighting Alan Kaymot, who is 26-10-5 for the vacant PABA super featherweight title. And over in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, card we've got posted on our website. Caleb Truax fighting Joshua Okine at middleweight. Caleb is 26-3-2. Okine is 28-7-1. And then we got Luis Arias, 15-0 at middleweight, fighting Darrell Cunningham, who's 33-8 for the vacant USBA middleweight title. Why am I not seeing? Oh, it's because it's on Sunday. All right. Yeah, there's the Errol Spence Jr. card on Sunday. And talk about former guests. Not only do we have former guests on this fight card, but we have two former guests fighting each other. It's pretty interesting.
Really?
So we don't know who to root for, Tony. We got Heather Hardy fighting Shelley Vincent, and they're both undefeated. So, I mean, it's tough to analyze and tough to root for somebody there.
Yeah.
Shelly, though, is probably your favorite, Tony, because she got the Rocky Marciano tattoo. Remember that one?
Oh, you gotta get that thing done well, you know?
So Heather is 17-0 at featherweight, and Shelly is 18-0. So that'll be an interesting one to watch, for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad blood there, I guess, and they're trying to build up that, like, Yankees-Red Sox thing, too, you know, New York to Boston.
Yeah, but Shelly, I think, is from Rhode Island. But close enough. So anyway, that'll be one worth watching. And then the main event, as we mentioned, Errol Spence Jr., 20-0 at welterweight, fighting Leonard Bundu, who is 33-1-2. And for me, that just sounds like they're trying to throw Errol somebody who has just a way more experience, but is still vulnerable. You know, he's got the one loss and the two draws, so.
I don't know. I really don't know what type of competition he faced.
Right. Well, we do if we look it up.
Well, true.
Let me check. Go back that. But anyway, we've got Claudio Marrero also on the card at featherweight. He's 20 wins, 1 loss is his record, fighting Derek Murray, who is 13-0-1. And this rounds out the big fights on that card. And then we got another one next Tuesday. It's pretty interesting, worth watching on Fox Sports 1. Caleb Plant versus Juan DeAngel. Caleb is 13-0 at super middleweight. Juan is 18-4-1. We also have pretty decent co-main event. Earl Newman at light heavyweight is 9-0, fighting Leo Hall, who's 8-1. And then a couple undefeated fighters. Carlos Gongora, 5-0 at light heavyweight, fighting Ronald Mixon, who's 7-0. And then another one worth mentioning, at least, is Junior Castillo, 10-1 at middleweight, fighting Khurshid Abdulayev, who is 7-1-1. But let me just check BoxRec's Leonard Bundu record here, and I'll tell you if he's fought anybody who's a contender. Just gotta wait for it to freaking load. At least we'll know how many knockouts he has anyway. 12 knockouts for his 33 wins. Never been knocked out himself. His one loss, obviously, by decision. So, yeah. His one loss came to Keith Thurman.
Oh, wow. 2014. And he
went the distance with him. Unanimous decision. Pablo Munguia was the fight after that. He won that one by unanimous decision. Pablo was 21-7 going into that one. And he fought in Italy. Fought Jussi Koivula. 19-2-1 was his record, and he beat that guy by TKO. Before Thurman, he beat Frankie Gavin, who was undefeated from the UK, by split decision. Frankie was 19-0 going into that one in August of 2014. Also, he's got a win over Lee Purdy, another UK standout. That was in London in 2013. He's got a win over Rafael Jackowitz, actually, in 2013, when Jackowitz had 10 losses, 42 wins, and 2 draws. And he fought a lot in Italy. A lot. Most of his career, I'd say, looking at it. Almost all of his early fights were in Italy. Nobody too spectacular until you get up to... let's see, this guy's name here. Laszlo Komjathy was 30-20 when he fought him. He knocked him out. Moises Castro. And then he really started turning around the competition level back in 2011. He went from fighting a guy who was 6-12-3, winning on points, to a draw against Daniel Petrucci, who was 28-0-1. So, big step up there. And then he fought Daniel again and beat him by unanimous decision. Next fight after that was Antonio Moscatiello. He was undefeated at 13-0, and he knocked him out. KO. He also has knockout wins over Jackowitz, who I mentioned. It doesn't say the round on their records. That's weird. It's another problem with BoxRec. TKO'd. He also TKO'd Lee Purdy as well. And Ismael El Moussoudi, 37-4 going into that one. He knocked him out. Stefano Castellucci. Now there's an Italian name. Castellucci.
And Castellucci.
And,
he's Italian.
He was 20-1 going into that one. That was a technical decision. And then that's pretty much it. That's a pretty tough guy, all in all. Of course, we also have big news.
Very good time.
Yeah. We also have big news on the Fighters Union front. I don't know if you guys read anything up on this. You know, we a few weeks ago were talking to a guy who was interested in doing something along the lines of a union for boxers. Well, the Pro Fighters Union for MMA guys is now official. They're calling it Pro Fighters Association, I believe. And the only problem I have with it is, you know, they get a lot of big name lawyers and stuff involved, but if you look at their whole website and their press release and their announcement about starting this thing, all of the language has UFC in it. Like, you know, we're going to do this for UFC fighters. We're going to do that for UFC fighters, as if the word UFC or the letters UFC are still synonymous with the letters MMA. And they're not,
yeah.
You know, and I know you guys are lawyers, but I mean, hey, you're supposed to do your research on the sport you're trying to represent. And they have all kinds of support from all the other professional players' unions, and you know, they've all got experience one way or another with other athletes, but they're targeting the UFC alone, which is a bad idea. Because number one, you're limiting yourself, and number two, you're leaving so many people out. So I hope they adjust that attitude and that mindset and realize that just because the UFC got bought for $4 billion doesn't mean they're the be-all end-all of mixed martial arts. And then on top of that, they're just saying pros. You know, if you're going to have a fighters association, why would you alienate the amateurs too? I mean, might as well try to get them involved somehow. But I'm going to keep talking with Adrian on some of my ideas on that and see if we can't get a boxing and mixed martial arts set up for that type of association arrangement. I would definitely think that would work a lot better. But there are some big names, you know, and it's getting some big press. So we'll definitely keep an eye on what they do. Or if they do anything major. But I was surprised to see that this week. They did move pretty fast. And you know that, you know, the Fertitta's getting out of the business had something to do with that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they obviously have a major problem with unions. They had the culinary union battle going on for years and years and years. Still going on. Trying to unionize their casinos even now that they're public. And they don't want it. So, obviously, I think that was a deterrent for anybody involved in trying to even think about putting a union together during that time when the Fertittas were involved. Let's see, what else is new? See if I got any other stories worth covering here. I did talk to, just the other day, a guy named Matt Betzold. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. We're going to have an interview on. This one, actually, this show is going to be on Blog Talk Radio this week. Because we got to straighten something out with podcast machine. Before next week's show, I got to do some billing things and expand our storage before we keep putting stuff on there. But I did an interview with Matt, and he is an MMA fighter with one leg amputated below the knee. And you know, we obviously know from previous shows talking about Nick Newell that it's not unheard of for somebody with a prosthetic or that needs a prosthetic to be able to compete in MMA. He has like half an arm. I think it's a little past the elbow. But kind of same situation, different limb. And he fights in World Series of Fighting. Now, Matt hasn't gotten a chance to fight there. He has fought in a couple other big-time leagues. I did a whole hour-long interview with him because I really want to do a major story on it, like a magazine or, you know, for a bigger site. Just something to get some more spotlight on this. But basically, Dana White had come out and said something about, well, you know, you're never going to see an amputee in the UFC. It's never going to happen. So, of course, Matt took this very personally. He's been fighting his whole life, basically. I'll give you guys five guesses on how he lost his leg each, and I bet you won't get it.
Okay, let me think on this. Tom's a psychic, though.
That's not okay. Fair.
We'll start off with a few obvious ones. A motorcycle accident.
Oh, close. There's motorcycles involved, but it has nothing to do with the leg itself.
Motorcycle, see? My crystal ball. Okay. Here's what I did on the line now. See, if I got a lucky hit, I say, okay, now I know I'm honing in. Honing in. Let's be correct with the words. I'm homing in motorcycle. But nothing to do with the leg.
No, or riding one. That has nothing to do with riding one. Or being run over by one. you're never going to guess it, so I might as well explain it. So, you know, I'm expecting, you know, an accident or, you know, a sickness or fungus, something like that. So he tells me the reason he lost his leg is when he was younger, about 5 years old, a motorcycle gang thought that this kid's father stole something from them, and he didn't steal it. So they're trying to get back at him anyway, even though he didn't steal anything, and they poisoned the kid. So,
oh, wow.
He ended up getting gangrene and losing his... And he was also in a coma from the age of 5 to the age of 6. So he goes into a coma at 5.
Oh, wow.
Last thing he remembers is going to the police station or the fire department. And then he wakes up in the hospital with no leg. So, interesting story, to say the least. And on top of this, you know, he really wants to be in the UFC. He's been to all kinds of... hurdles trying to get himself actually registered as a professional fighter in California, because you can't go in there with a prosthetic. You know, you have to fight with the stump, so to speak. So you can't just, you know, go in there and have an advantage of, you know, having a leg that people can kick but will break them before it breaks. You know, it's a foreign object, basically. You can't bring that into the cage. So, I mean, he has adapted his game and learned how to handle himself in the cage. And he's got a couple losses, but they're to very high-caliber fighters as a professional. I think he went 4-4 and was it, as an amateur.
I wonder if he's on YouTube. Oh, yeah. Any of his fights on YouTube.
Probably, yeah. You probably Matt, M-A-T-T, last name is B-E-T-Z-O-L-D, Matt Betzold. And we'll have the interview up on Blog Talk Radio at some point. I'm going to have to edit it a little bit to get it down to the length. But yeah, it's that's pretty interesting stuff. He's a just excellent character. He talked a little bit about how his dad never let him use his leg as an excuse. You know, when he was trying to get his brothers to do all kinds of stuff for him when he was a kid. His dad would tape a $20 bill to the other side of the room and say, go get it yourself, you know. And he'd get the $20 on, you know, on top of that. So it was some incentive. But, you know, he's obviously, you know, had some battles with depression over it and anxiety and issues with people making fun of him. But just overcame all that stuff and is competing at a professional level.
I'm just wondering what his style is in the stand-up game.
Right.
I mean, he couldn't really kick.
Well, I'll tell you this, Tom. I've seen him grapple. In person. I was actually, when I looked at him the first time and started listening to the story, because I got basically called out on Facebook on this one. This was interesting because obviously I have some fans out there, you know, as people have read my stuff because they know I just gravitate towards controversy. So I had put out some kind of story link, and somebody, I didn't even know before this week, posted some message in the comments calling me out and asking me to write this story. So arranged the interview, and then to make a long story short, talked to him already, and I mean, it sounds like a great magazine story, whether it be for a disabled focus magazine or a major sports magazine, because I saw this guy in Vegas take, I think he either won the whole tourney or came in second or third, because he goes into this grappling tournament. And even there, he couldn't use his leg. had to take it off. And I'm just watching this guy. And, you know, of course, everybody knows, hey, you know, that's the guy with one leg. You know, you can't miss it. So he's out there throwing people around with just one leg. And, you know, it kind of made me go, well, you know, obviously there's somewhat of an advantage in the fact that that's a lot of weight that he doesn't have to cut. So all the muscles are in the other limbs. So he's got, like, you know, a little bit, I don't know if you'd even want to call it an advantage, but he's got, you know, some benefits, I suppose you could say, to not having part of your leg. But he does pretty well on it. He does very well on it.
Now, what do you think Dana's reasoning would be? Because I have a theory on it, but I'd like to hear yours.
I would think just because... The PR factor, I mean, actually, Matt did bring this up, that the World Series of Fighting people were very reluctant to get him fights when he tried to fight with them, because they were kind of traumatized through the NBC coverage of, or I think it was NBC Sports Channel that covers the World Series of Fighting. But they had the Justin Gaethje versus Nick Newell fight, and Nick Newell got pummeled in front of live audience. You know, it was a disabled guy getting his ass kicked. So, of course, a lot of people were up in arms. There were a lot of complaints. And Matt himself told me that One of the matchmakers told him that was the reason why they wouldn't give him a fight. Or they couldn't get the fight to be approved by NBC. Because NBC, I guess, got so many complaints and so many letters that they didn't want to get it, give it that kind of attention again. Which is, it sucks, you know, but that's the reality of the situation that he faces. And one of the funnier parts of it, you know, you think this to yourself, but you don't want to ask it. So I was glad he brought it up. But he said, you know, a lot of times he gets the vibe that people just don't want to fight him because they don't want to have to say, hey, I got my ass kicked by a one-legged dude, you know?
Yeah.
It is what it is. But, yeah, I'll have that interview up within the next couple of days. I'll play around with it, and I'm going to work on trying to get that published in a magazine somewhere. And so we'll have that to look forward to. Maybe we'll have him on the show officially, too. We'll do it that way. We'll get all of us to talk to him. Now that you know his story, right, it would be better that way. We'll get more, even more information that we can work with for the magazine article. Figure something out. Anyway, that's all I have. I don't have any real big news items. The only real big news thing I know of this week is the, of course, the press conference may lay there, but then the big UFC 202, obviously. And that's pretty much it in the Fighters Union. That was it. That was all my stuff. Quick hit. We got to be under a half an hour anyway for Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll see how things go Saturday, but I'll stick with my guns, and we'll look forward to it next week.
Hell yeah.
All right. Sounds fair to me.
All right, guys.
All right, guys. Mm-hmm. Next week, and let's enjoy the fights.
Yes, sir.
That's a reasonable.
Adios. Thanks for stopping by.